With relation to this majlis, this assembly, I would like to present an example to you that some beautiful, if we think of a very beautiful and attractive garden, that within there are very beautiful flowers that grow in that garden. Or if you're a farmer and you know about agriculture, and you have nice fertile land which is fed with water, a water source regularly, and you plant the seeds in that soil, in the earth, and you strive and make effort on the earth, you cultivate, then obviously if you take the beautiful garden or a farm with nice land, it will bear fruit, and nice fruit, enjoyable fruit and produce. But for some time upon that land, if a person doesn't pay attention or reduces his effort or leaves the earth or land to its own devices or the garden of flowers to its own devices, then when he returns to that land or garden, then the whole face of that place will have changed the appearance. Animals, birds will have come and eaten the crops, and animals will have been trodding over all of the flowers and the soil, and it won't be bearing any fruit or plants or whatever you want from it, because we haven't paid attention, looked after it, cultivated it, kept on top of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Qur'an al-Hakim that, O insan, O human being, in your bodies Allah ta'ala has given you your heart, and your heart is the markaz. It is the headquarters of the body, the heart. Yeah, so Allah Ta'ala has given us an organ in the body which is the markaz. It is the king of the body. If you take the garden, if you don't pay attention to it, work hard on it, then it withers away and it decays, it decomposes, or whatever you want to call it. But if you don't look after the king organ of the body, the flesh, the organ of the heart, which is the root cause of all goodness in the body, spiritually, mentally, everything. And the heart emanates the fruits and the flowers of the ma'rifah of Allah when it is in the right state. So we need to think that, how much do we cultivate our hearts? How much do we look after our hearts? How much do we keep our hearts clean? How much do we prepare them for goodness? Look, what will happen if we don't? 60 years, 50 years, 70 years. Keep worship to one side. Remember this point. Worship is not the cultivation of the heart. If we worshipping and praying, do you think we're cultivating the heart? No, this is not the case. This is not the case. I'll give you the example that on the land you plant the seed and you work hard, but you don't look after that land. You don't protect it. You don't secure it. Then what will happen to those fruits, vegetables, flowers? The insects will come, the pests will come, or somebody will come and spoil the land. So if you don't protect that earth, if you don't secure it, if you don't look over it correctly with the right conditions and balance, then just like that, the heart will also, if it's not protected, secured, kept in balance, kept in check, then there will be issues with the heart. Yes, there will be blots on the heart, there will be scars on the heart, there will be issues within the heart. And so if we do ibadat, it's just like we planted the seeds and we are farming on the land, but then we don't protect it afterwards. We don't protect it and secure it, we don't focus on it. So just like the earth or that garden of flowers, then all of the flowers, they get uprooted or they fly away or they get eaten or trodden over. In the same way the heart, all our life passes, we're about to go into the grave, one foot in the grave, yet we've never thought, what is in our heart? How do I protect my heart? How do I cultivate the heart? How do I improve the heart? How do I strengthen the heart? So what happens is the shaitan comes into the heart, he makes it its headquarters, then its offspring multiply within the heart, and then people say, oh, he's been possessed by jinn, he's been influenced by jinn, black magic and jadu, and the whole world is running around, and in the hospital someone says he's got the issues, mental issues, spiritual issues. Oh, servants of Allah, pay attention to the heart that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. How? Everything emanates from within the heart. There's nothing that does not emanate. All of the spiritual diseases and maladies and problems, they emanate from the heart. We don't even know how many diseases are within the heart. But we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention. We just emphasize on dhahiri, external appearances, external deeds. We read Quran, we pray. Fine, alhamdulillah. But you are planting that same seed. You need to consider, am I planting that seed will benefit me ongoing? without any hesitation. Every single spiritual malady, we have no significance for those in our mind. We don't even think about them. We don't have any regard for them. We just overlook them. We think, oh, it's just part of life. In Jannah, in paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made gardens, Allah ta'ala has planted trees, and in Jahannam, there's also an environment. There's a garden, there's a tree, there's a tree in hellfire, and its roots are in the ground, and its branches, they bow down and they come down. If somebody grabs hold of it, it's of its twig or branch, it directly goes into Jahannam. What is this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned and told us the dua, and he used to read the dua himself, and he gave us the check-in that Allah Ta'ala said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhli. Allah Ta'ala, save me from bukhl. That, do we pay attention to this? That such a dangerous disease, you can say, in our hearts. It's a dangerous situation which we call bukhl. Yes, it's a big disease. And we don't really think about it. And when this disease comes out, then what comes? Subhanallah, then comes ease and generosity and the ability to spend. Just like if you clean the land and the beautiful fruits come out. So this disease of bukhl, niggardly actions, you know, miserliness and stinginess, this is a problem. We've never thought that, have I got this issue or negative of bukhl? Within wealth we are bukhl, in the knowledge a person's bukhl, in tasawwuf he's bukhl, he's niggardly, he's miserly, he's stingy. If Allah Ta'ala has given you capacity and strength to do good, and you don't distribute that goodness to other people, when you can, you're in a position, then you are the biggest bukhl person. You've got the disease of bukhl within you. Now what you'll see, you have a shop and the neighbor has a shop, and the neighbor, you can benefit him, but you don't want to give him benefit. For under the name of competition, you have a neighbor and you're a neighbor, and you can benefit your neighbor, assist your neighbor, help your neighbor, but you don't pay attention. You say, oh, there's nothing. And we're doing ibadat and worship, everything. But tomorrow, tell me that what have we grabbed hold of? We have grabbed hold of the branch of miserliness, and the branch of miserliness will take us straight to hellfire. Yes, if I'm niggardly, I'm stingy, I'm tight, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say that, didn't I not say to you that you should think about somebody else? Does your heart not feel to spend for somebody else? Don't you have that desire in your heart that you should give hadiya to someone? What is your position when you give hadiya? Do you feel tight? What thing do we have at home mostly? Okay, let's take that out, pack it and let's give it to somebody. That's how we operate. If there's perfume, we'll give a gift of perfume that we've used a little bit, and then we'll pack it nicely. I'll give this. Subhanallah. I'm telling you personal experiences that I've seen. Personal experiences that we're given perfume, a scent, a gift to somebody. This is niggardly action. There's a person stingy. How big a action of niggardliness this person is showing and demonstrating. For example, when someone's doing da'wah, propagating, explaining, and when you example inviting other people to a feast. So when you invite people, you should do it nicely. Don't put the brakes on the food that you make and the preparations. So this is a deep-rooted disease of the heart. And where does it reach? Where does it take us? We do all of the ibadat and worship, and then at the end we'll be told, go from the right lane to the left lane. Why? So will we not be accounted for this? Will we not be asked? This is a very big illness. A very big illness of the heart. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated a hadith about miserliness, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who has one day of food, and he's not a bakhil, Allah's given him the action of generosity, his heart is generous. A person whose heart becomes generous, then he doesn't do the actions of the bukhl. He doesn't, because he cannot be stingy. Because when the earth is cultivated and prepared, and your malik gives to you, and the farmer, when he farms every day and he looks after the land and he thinks, what's coming into my heart? What's the problem in my heart? And the best action is to sit and keep the company of the wali of Allah. And if he tells you, scolds you, tells you after, what are you doing? That we should learn to take the beats. We should learn to take the scolding and the strictness and the firmness and the telling off from the teacher. Because if you want the teacher who praises you, who embraces you all the time, tells you you're good, mashallah, noor is on your face, you come back from Umrah, mashallah, every time you're in the masjid, you're pious, you will get these kind of teachers. But the wali of Allah, the true sheikh, will tell you that, where's your ibadat, where's your worship? Become insan, become the human being. This is the reality. So we don't even know what's in our hearts. We just have, you know, we think we have the assistance of the worship, of the worship deeds that we've done. But when our guest will come, the ultimate guest, the angels to extract our ruh, then we will realize where we are standing. The Quran teaches us, at least understand and consider the issues when you have them. Allah says the illness is when your heart. Allah says that if you try, then I will prefer your action. But at least work hard. At least make effort. Okay, let's find someone. Let's find a sheikh. We will go to him. And he will advise us and guide us. Allah is Kareem. Allah is Rahmah. Mercy is the wali of Allah. This is the mercy of Allah. That person, when he goes towards good, and he takes hold of that good and accepts it, and he will be forgiven. Allah's rahmah will forgive him. Brothers, we don't even try. We don't even try. We should always analyze in the morning when we wake up and through the day. What illnesses have I got inside me, in my heart, in my nafs? And when shaitan says to me, I'm pious, I'm good, say, no. I'm not good. In the Naqshbandi silsila, our teachers, our mushaykh, they teach us and guide us. That rather, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Iftani rahmatullahi has given great teachings in this regard. And the Sahaba taught us that think yourself as worse and lower than the dog. Inside, in reality, I'm nothing. Allah, I'm not pious. I'm not to worship. But the Sahaba ikram did this. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu took hold of a twig. And he cried. He saw a bird. He cried. Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu saw the dust and he cried. And we today, because they thought that if only we were these things and not what we are. And today we think we are the best and we're pious and we worship. No, a severe time is to come upon us. A severe time will come upon us. And every single second of our lives will be presented in front of us. A severe scale, the right and the left. Everything will be weighed. And if the scale on the right goes down is weightier, Allah will announce, go into paradise. Your good deeds have overwhelmed the bad. And if the scale on the left falls down due to the sins, will go into Jahannam. And those who are in between, they'll go into Araf. And then from there, they will go to the next place. Allahu Akbar. And the person, the people in Jannah will be happy. Allah, we've got to paradise. Didn't Allah Ta'ala guide us? He told us, if we do this, if we listen to what Allah Ta'ala says, we'll go to paradise. And the people of hell will be in hell. And the people in between, they won't be in paradise, nor in the hellfire. And they will look at both sides, what's happening here. They'll be praying to Allah. Because this is the surah Al-A'raf. They will be praying to Allah. I'm reciting this surah to you. They'll say, Allah, please take us to paradise. Don't send us to hellfire. And who is Allah Ta'ala told this to? Will another nation come? With another race of human beings come after us? This is for me and you, brothers. Us, sitting here. We will be in those groups. Either to the right or to the left, or in between. So what will we do then? Time will have run out. If one deed less is in my book of deeds, one deed I'm desperate for, what will I do then? I won't have a chance. So what should we do? Start working on the right track today, now. Now, end of story. Go to the right track, to the right lane, and stay on that lane. Don't go to the left lane, to the hard shoulder. And consider yourself as the worst of people. The pious people who are close to Allah, the walis of Allah, they never praise themselves. They never consider themselves as good. They say that we are the worst and lower. They say, you are telling me? My friends, we have to be careful and cautious. They cry upon their own defects and deficiencies. And they say that, oh, if somebody is coming to me for islah, they do islah, they guide the human being. They don't do islah out of their own accord. Rather, from behind there's a hukam. So what can he do? The teacher, the wali, he's got an order from behind him, from his teacher from before. So he has to fulfill the orders of the teacher. But he never considers himself as pious. Never, ever. And what do we think? We think we're the highest, the most glorious. Look how much sadaqah do we give. We're stingy. How much sadaqah shall I give? How much charity shall I give? And I feel so good when I hear about a sakhi. And we should do that sadaqah. We should spend in that way. We should be so generous. That should be more than what we need. We should fulfill the need of that person. And above that, over and above that, subhanallah. What is the basis of Islam? That you should keep for your home the expenses that you need minimum and give the rest away to society. We hoard the wealth, save the wealth. And we still think we're poor. We still complain we don't have enough money. We don't even spend on ourselves, on our parents, on our brothers and sisters. We don't even spend on our children. And we don't even fulfill their responsibilities and their requirements. So the bukhl, the bakhil, The stingy person, this is a very bad illness. The niggardly person, the miserly person. And if we delve even further and discuss, we don't even know how many spiritual maladies we have in our heart. So let's cultivate our heart, the earth of our heart. Let's keep analyzing what sins have I got within me, which illnesses have I got within me, how do I solve these, how do I eliminate these, how do I improve myself. And not big, big sins, I don't do this. Alhamdulillah, how could you do this? And maybe inside your heart feels like doing it. Because what will Dunya say? But khawf of Allah, fear of Allah, is that the deficiencies within my heart that nobody can see, and I analyze them and I eliminate them. That is the person who is a genuine human being who has khawf and fear of Allah. Zina, who's going to do zina today? Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the female and she'll hit you with the 70 shoes. So the dunya stops us from doing the big sins. But if you really want to save yourself from the sin, then look and delve into your heart and look in the mirror. That what are the illnesses within my heart? And that is the insan who reaches to the kamal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand? So I have no link with the dunya. There's no link with my dahir. My brothers, this is a big lesson for us. We shouldn't be bakhil. And Allah promises that the person who spends in the path of Allah in anything, if Allah has given you knowledge, then distributing that knowledge is spending in the path of Allah. Striving, struggling, let me travel, let me waken the people of the world. Allah has given me capacity, I can teach dhikr morning, night. And He says, I will with full fervor teach dhikr. A beautiful unique point. Allah Ta'ala promises, I will give you 10 in return for that. One majlis a shaykh holds and hosts, one majlis, one gathering, Allah Ta'ala multiplies 10 times the reward in Jannah for that. Aha, great darajat. Why? Because he could rest, he could sit on his laurels and not do anything. But what we have to think, that how much is he working hard? How many complaints is he earning? How many criticisms is he earning? There are obstacles and tragedies in front of him. How hard it is for him and how difficult it is for him to fulfill his mission. But he is steadfast on his mission. Allah promises, in the one place I will multiply it by 10. Aha. And we stand in front of them as obstacles and try to compete with them. How can it be? Allah Ta'ala says, the shaykh, the teacher has taken risks. He has strived. He has made effort. He is trying all the time with attempts to influence people with the goodness. And in this line of tasawwuf, nothing can be a hurdle for the shaykh. Ilm cannot be the hurdle. There's nothing that can be the hurdle, the obstacle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens all of the doors for that wali. And Allah Ta'ala calls him from such a place that he speaks. Allah calls the public and they hear, and there's the vibration, because the teacher, the wali, has stood and moved and held that majlis for Allah's sake. Because if I don't distribute this goodness from my heart today, then I will be standing with the bakhil on the day of judgment. If I sit at home and do maraqabah in hiding in seclusion. No, if you've got the capacity and you don't do the work of the deen, then you'll be the biggest bakhil on the day of judgment. And I've seen the walis of Allah, they're walking in the streets, they grab hold of the public in the shops, in the shopping centers. They have no basis. They have to sit in the khanqah on my pillow and sit on the cushion. MashaAllah, there are people who do this. But this basis of teaching, of disseminating the deen and into the hearts of the people, you don't look at the shopping center, the bus, the car, transportation, roadway, masjid, building, doesn't matter where you see the makhluk, the creation of Allah, take hold of them, advise them, guide them, coach them. Why? Because I don't want to be the bakhil who harbors his knowledge and capacity. Allah Ta'ala is the one to change them. Why am I bakhil? Call them, explain, tell them, advise them, direct them, influence them, inspire them. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala multiplies and elevates 10 times the reward on that action. As a Fatima radiyallahu anha became ill once. Aha. And this is a rawayat. She became ill, Hazrat Fatima al-Zuhra radiyallahu anha. And you know how difficult was her situation. She wasn't rich. They didn't have anything at home. They had no luggage, no nothing. And she said, Ali, my husband, she was severely ill, badly ill. She said, I'm ill and I feel that I want to have pomegranates. Pomegranate. Allahu Akbar. She is the head of the women of paradise and she is desiring pomegranate on the earth. You know, when Hazrat Fatima al-Zuhra radiallahu anha was in her final moments and she called Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali karamallahu waj. And she used to cry a lot, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. After the death of Rasulullah s.a.w. passed away, the Prophet of Allah, she used to cry so much about the going away of her father. And they came, the women of a locality, and said, why are you crying so much, Fatima? You'll get ill. She said, what can I do? I can't stay. I can't live without my father. And in this same way, she became ill a lot. And she lay down on her mattress after bathing, and she said, Ali, and Hazrat Ali asked her, radiyallahu anhu, how are you? I will come to the other event after this, and now point has come to my mind. I'm telling you about Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anhu. The people are, that when we speak about her fears, first when we come to her, Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anhu, that we speak about her status and rank. So, she said that, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu asked her, how are you, Fatima, my dear wife? And she said, Ali, my husband, why are you asking? Now it's just the preparation, the time has come. Then Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu started to cry. He used to love his wife so much. He said, Fatima, don't say this. Don't say this. Now, there's much time to pass. We've had such a big tragedy. Rasulullah ﷺ has left us recently and now you're about to depart. What are you saying? She said that this is going to happen, Ali. This is going to happen. Bas. Just 3-4 things I want to share with you. First, that I have extreme love for you, my husband. This much love, this much regard that I cannot tell you, O Ali. But do one thing. Do one thing for me. That when I depart from this world, then daily you have to come to my grave so I can meet you continuously. SubhanAllah. Then he started to cry. He said, I promise to you. She said, secondly, Ali, that Hassan and Hussein, I love them so much, my sons. And I always keep them close to your chest, embrace them and never give them pain, difficulty, and look after them immensely. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, I promise I will. Then she said, Ali, my husband, that I've had my bath, you don't need to give me ghusl. I don't need the ghusl. And my janazah, don't tell anybody where I'm buried and my janazah where it takes place. And Hazrat Ali said, fine. And she said, fourthly, I love you so much, my husband Ali, so much, and I'm hopeful that you will forgive me that I could not fulfill the right of your love. I could not serve you, my husband. SubhanAllah. That Fatima radiallahu anhu, on her hands were blisters. Marks. She used to serve her husband. There was nothing to eat at home. Nothing. She used to work hard all day long. And she was the woman. And this is the basis, the foundation of the woman. She was the woman of Jannah. The head of the women of Jannah. The greatest woman. And Allah Ta'ala gave the example of a simple life, humble life, sincere life for our women, our wives. That doesn't matter how much pain and difficulty there is in your life, but be grateful. And she's departing this world and she's asking her husband for forgiveness that I couldn't serve you. Just like you looked after me, I could not fulfill your rights, oh my husband. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, you can only clap with two hands. If we ask for a wife like Fatima, then we should have the character of Ali radiallahu anhu as well, isn't it, as husbands? Not just, oh, we want a wife like Fatima and our character is like some man in the wilderness. So we need to reach to that basis as well, isn't it? Have you not heard? Have you not heard? The person who pleases his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of paradise for that person. If he fulfills the requirements and desire of the wife, if she desires something from you, then you should fulfill her desire. You should make her heart feel happy. No tricking her, playing games. We give examples. The women are like this. Oh, look what Hazrat Fatima did. And look what they were like. But then at least you try to be Ali. Fatima is ill. And she said, Ali, radiyallahu anha. And see how he pleased her heart. What do I need? I feel like today to eat the pomegranate so that I feel happy. Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu anha, he didn't have any money. Hazrat Ali, karamallahu wajhahu. Now I'll get back to the first story. He said, definitely my wife, I will bring the pomegranate. He didn't have any money. No resources. He didn't have nothing. Not a dirham. So he went out. He's asking for the loan from people. Can you loan me something? One dinar? Nothing. No one's lending him. Who's going to give to him? And the wife asked. He could have said, look, I've got no money. Can you go to sleep? Drink the cold water. Who am I? How can I give to you? I don't have no money. That's what we say today. I don't have no money to give to you. But he said, no. No. This is the character. You have to have both characters. Two hands to clap. So Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu karamallahu wajh. He went and borrowed some money from somebody. After taking the loan, he bought a pomegranate and brought it home. Allahu Akbar, what tests people have in life. And he was coming home, he saw a person was there ill. He said, why are you struggling? He said, I feel like eating the pomegranate. If I can get some pomegranate from somewhere, my illness will go. Hazrat Ali said, is it? Here, take this pomegranate, eat it. And he took and he gave the pomegranate to him. This is the example of the bakhil I'm giving you, who was not bakhil. So he came home. He said, Fatima, I'm so ashamed. I got the pomegranate as soon as it, but if nobody was going to give me a loan second time. So this is the situation. She said, Ali, the point is this. When you were given the pomegranate to him, Allah is witness, I had the taste of the pomegranate at that time. So don't worry. Why are you distressed? My heart is full of the taste of the pomegranate. Even if you brought it, I would not be able to eat it because the taste came on my mouth at that time. And I'm better now. I wanted to increase my health, and Allah has given me my health. After a while, the door knocked. And Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. This is a hadith we mentioned on Thursday, and inshallah we will continue the hadith on Thursday, and I will continue with that. And inshallah you hear the rest of the points. So Hazrat Salman Farsi, in his hand was a tray, and he said, what is this? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody gave hadiah to him from Jannah, from Allah. And he said, this is not mine, give this to Fatima. Rasulullah gave a gift, so I brought this hadiah to you. And they opened it, and they opened the tray, and there was the pomegranate. Allahu Akbar, from paradise. And they looked at this. Where have you bought this from? And Hazrat Salman Farsi said, Rasulullah sent this. For who? For you or Fatima? She said, this is not mine. Why? She said, she was Fatima also, the daughter. She said, if it's come from paradise, if Allah sent it, then there'll be 10. He said, he promised that in return for one, he'll give 10. He said, there are 10. Then he took one out from within. He said, I kept this to test you. How much is your yaqeen? Here's the 10th. My brothers, subhanallah. So one of the person who spends in Allah's path, in any way or form, not just money, any skill Allah's given to you, skill, and you distribute that skill, and you spend it in the path of Allah, you spend it, utilize it on the people, on the public, for humans, then Allah will give you, the doors of paradise will be open for you. Open for you. One individual, let me tell you. Hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who has food for one day, and someone comes who is in need, and he gives him that food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, that call out his name, the angels call out. What answer should we give? Oh, wali of Allah. This is a normal man. He becomes a wali in the world due to spending. Oh, wali of Allah. That all of your previous sins forgiven, now start amal and start your deeds from scratch. You have no sins. Look what a big illness. Bakhil, stingy person, niggardly person, miserly person. And look at the massive reward. We do sujood, we worship, prostrate. I know if you recite Quran and dhikr of Allah and praying, you get qurb nenis wala. But the qurb of Allah you get from being generous, it will wipe away the spiritual disease of the heart, and your rank will be elevated to the heights. This is the Allah Ta'ala's mercy, how He becomes pleased with His servant. So do dua to Allah, pray to Allah. Allah Ta'ala changes the life of a dunya. He rotates and improves the life of a world, of a heart. The walis of Allah who invite to dhikr, who host dhikr, and people they think, oh, why should I go here? He wants to be wali. He's calling people to the majlis so that he can become a wali, and so we can become walis. He started dhikr, and angels are coming, and inspiration and ilham, and people start to get fussy. I'm a wali of Allah, I don't need to do this and that. Now brothers, this is the majlis of tazkiyah. Let's identify and eliminate our internal sins and illnesses. Do muhasabah, analyze, weigh up, listen to me carefully and clearly. Then afterwards analyze, so am I a bakhil? Am I stingy? Do I spend in Allah's way? Do I distribute the goodness? And if I don't, then I've grabbed hold of the branch of miserliness, which will take me into Jahannam. But Mubarak, congratulations to those who remember, understand, appreciate this message. Maybe from me, first time you're hearing this message, and you hear many speeches and lectures, and there's ta'aleem, and you hear these points. Those people have heard these points and have taken all of this path, that we are going to improve ourselves, change ourselves, increase our capacity, and they can't improve themselves, but they're trying, they are successful. They are successful. Congratulations for those sisters and brothers who are striving and making effort. Because Allah wants effort, not end result, effort. We're weak, there's environment, society around us, but at least try. Okay, I'm a sinner, or I'm miserly, I'm stingy, I'm doing dhikr, fair enough. But I need to do better, I need to be generous. And when a person's generous, when he does dhikr, he cleans his heart. So at least you're trying and striving, you're doing the dhikr of Allah, you're striving, you're making effort, at least you're attempting that no dirt comes onto the heart, because this is the protection, the security of the heart. So Alhamdulillah, this is a great action. And those who don't do dhikr, who are not doing dhikr, take hold of dhikr and how it's prescribed to you. You should do dhikr in that manner, in that quantity and the intervals, because the dhikr of Allah cultivates the heart. So inshaAllah, those people who are in this majlis or not, but who are following this path or on the journey, the salikeen, Allah Ta'ala said, you are the people who will get the benefit. Muflihoon. Don't say, oh, why am I losing in the world, and my time is being wasted. No. You are doing the work of Allah Ta'ala. And inshallah, before dying, Allah will clean you totally. Inshallah, ameen, recite Durood Sharifah.